and they gave up their fortunes because some of them were very rich men. And many of them lost everything. Many of them died during that effort. And I think it probably would be a good thing to occasionally study the history of this country, which is really not taught in public schools today the way it really happened. And it's a sad thing. But so we've grown up a lot of people that are not, they don't appreciate their country. But as long as we're still breathing, we will say, God bless America. And the interesting thing is, it's not any different with Christianity. Christianity was brought about by blood, sweat, and tears. Not only did Christ die, but also many of the original apostles gave their life. I think maybe only one died of natural causes. And the rest of them, many of them were tortured. They lost families and everything else. And for our opportunity to open the Word of God today. The problem in the earth today is very simply this. Men and women and children are not in harmony with God. If you think about it, sin is very simply not being in harmony with God. And the interesting thing about it is nobody's going to heaven without being in harmony with God. And so God had to prepare another place. We call that eternal hell. And that's very simply a place for those that are not in harmony with God. And so God had a plan from the very beginning. He didn't come up with this plan at spur of the moment. He had this plan before the world had begun. And that was very simply that man would have a mediator between himself and man. Somebody had to be able to put their hand on God and put their hand on man to bring man to God. That was the entire issue. It's always been the issue from the time of Adam and Eve. And on, that somebody had to be found that had the ability to do that. Now, we talk about that as a mediator, somebody that can mediate between two parties, and that's exactly what we have, and that's what the whole Bible is all about, the mediating of Jesus Christ between God the Father and man. And when I say man, I mean men, women, children, and so forth. And that's really what the entire Bible is all about, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament. God always works by covenant. And the covenant that God works for is always sealed by blood. There was an Old Testament or Old Covenant, and that was the law. And the law was there to show man, number one, their need for God. Show man also he could not keep the law, and show God that a mediator was necessary. And that's what the whole Old Testament was all about. Very simply to show man that someone had to come. God had a name for that mediator. He was called the Messiah. Throughout the Old Testament, they were looking for the Messiah. 4,000 years at least, they were looking for the Messiah. And finally, the Messiah came. He didn't come to Rome. He didn't come to some of the great cities. He was born in a little lowly place called Bethlehem, predicted by God. The reason that he was born in that place is that name of that place means the house of bread. And Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the way, of course. And Jesus is the truth. So the issue is that he was the only one that could, by his own voluntary act, to come and die on the cross, shed his blood, and his blood is the seal of what is called the New Testament or the New Covenant. And it's sealed in blood. It's sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means It can never be changed. It's eternal. There'll never be a time when it's not in effect, both now and eternity. It is forever. And so therefore, God had to find a way to, for, as I say, for man to enter into this new covenant or new relationship with God. That's what it is. It's a relationship. God wanted a family from the very beginning. He wanted a family that had a relationship with Him. He was going to be God. They were going to be His people. That's the Old Testament. That's the New Testament. That's the whole thing. And so, as I mentioned last time, there is a universal Supreme Court. And that universal Supreme Court, everyone will have to stand before at the end of their life. The judge in the Supreme Court, there's only one, not nine, and that judge is God the Father. He is the judge of this court. What he sets the rules, he sets the law, it is all perfect, it is all holy, it is all just. He is a God of justice, but fortunately for us, He's also a God of love and mercy. If that was not true, nobody would ever go to heaven. So this judge has a court. The Supreme Court of the universe, the Supreme Court of the creation of God. And the purpose of this court is to judge whether or not at some time or another each individual that's ever born comes to the place where they're in harmony with God. Those in harmony with God will be blessed. Those that are out of harmony with God will be cursed. And it's not complicated, it's pretty simple. Our problem is we were born out of harmony with God, and then we sinned also in our lifetime, so we were all out of harmony with God, so we were all destined for a place without God, in a sense. And so I'm just telling you what the Bible's all about today. And so the issue is that we're standing before the court. And you and I are standing before that judge, and the judge very simply says, guilty as charged. Not in harmony with God. But we have a lawyer. His name is Jesus. And he said, Father, let me speak. Now, back in those days, the days of Christ, if you committed a crime and you were judged guilty and you were to be in jail for a certain amount of years, we'll say 10 years, they would very simply take you to jail, put you in jail, and on the door of your cell, they would have a handwriting on a piece of parchment, and they would attach it to the door of that prison, and it would say, guilty of so-and-so crime, 10 years. And they would put that on your door. At the end of 10 years, they would open the jail door, they would take that piece of paper off the door, and they would write, paid in full. And you would carry that piece of paper with you the rest of your life, and anybody say anything, look what you did, you'd pull out that piece of paper, it's paid for. I'm free. I'm free to do what God called me to do. And so here we are, we're in heaven, we've been judged guilty, we have a handwriting written against us. Judged guilty, eternal hell forever. But Jesus comes over to us. And because of His blood that was shed, He takes that piece of paper and He writes, paid in full. And we are then free to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father and the Holy Spirit forever. And you're going to say, how do you know that? And where does it say it in the Bible? Well, I'm glad you asked. Jesus had blood, sweat, and tears. He cried over Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen to it because the Messiah had come, the mediator had come, and they had refused the mediator. And therefore, he knew what was going to happen to Jerusalem. And 40 years later, the Roman army leveled Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. And they did it more than once they came in there because the Jews were rebellious people. Now, I want to show you where it says this. And let's go in John chapter 20 and verse 11. John chapter 20 and verse 11. John chapter 20 and verse 11, and it says, "But Mary stood outside of the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she swooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said unto them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they've laid him.' And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not it that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, 'Sir, if thou hast borne him from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I'll take him away.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Mary.' And she turned herself and said unto him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Master.'" But this is an interesting thing that Jesus said in verse 17. "Jesus said unto her, 'Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but we go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Now, Jesus said something to her. I think she was touching him. She was holding on. She wasn't going to let go. She had lost him once. Wasn't going to happen the second time. But he said, "Wait a minute. There's something I have to do. There's a work I have to do, and then you can touch me." And so very simply, he said, "I have to go up into heaven." Why did he have to go to heaven? He did go up to heaven immediately. And he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven. Now, if you study the Old Testament, you'll find out that in the temple, they had a brazen altar. And when somebody sinned, they would bring a lamb without blemish to that altar. And they would lay their hands on the head of the lamb and confess their sin or sins. Then the priest would cut the throat of the lamb, collect the blood. He would pour it around the brazen altar. And an altar, incidentally, is a place where you give something. You don't go to an altar to get, you go to an altar to give. And so they would pour the blood around the altar. They would put the lamb upon top of the altar on the fire. It would be consumed. And the point that God was saying, there's going to have to be someone else or something else that's going, your sin's going to have to be transferred to the animal, or that sin's going to remain with you. And so they would confess on over the animal. They would kill the animal, and the animal would be consumed, and that was a picture of your sin being taken away. You know, it's an interesting thing. Sin can never be destroyed. You can't destroy sin. You can't destroy something that you've done, actually. You can't destroy something like sin. Sin has to be taken away. The Bible says it's buried as deep in the ocean. As far as the east is from the west, sin is taken away, but it can't be destroyed. Interesting enough. So in the Old Testament, the sin of the individual was passed on to the animal who died, and that was a picture of the sin being taken away. And once a year, the high priest would go to the altar. They would sacrifice an animal. They would pray over that animal the sins of the entire nation of Israel for 1 year. And they would take the blood of that animal, and they wouldn't pour it around the altar. They would take it into the holy place. They would go behind the veil in the Holy of Holies, the high priest only, once a year, take that blood, and inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant with two angels over the top of that ark, and in the center of the ark was the presence of God. And on top of that, inside that ark was actually a box that was made out of wood that was covered by gold. But on the top of that box was an interesting thing called the seat, or the mercy seat. It was made out of solid gold. It represented God. It represented a holy God. And the priest would come in, he would bring this blood, and he would pour that blood on the mercy seat. And when he poured that blood on the mercy seat in the presence of God, Israel's sins were forgiven for 1 year. But he had to do that every year. Year after year after year after year. Their sins were not really taken away. What the situation was, their sins were covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, nobody in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, went to heaven. Because there was no mediator at that point. The only thing they did was they had this covenant with God about the blood, and if they'd shed the blood of the animal, confessed their sins, then that blood would be covered. And throughout the Old Testament, the sins were covered. They had to do that year after year after year. For thousands of years, the high priest went into the holy place, put the blood. But then came the time for the new covenant. And God said, I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to put my law on their hearts. I'm going to put my spirit within them. I'm going to give them a new heart. But it couldn't be done until the issue was settled in heaven. Because the temple on the earth was a replica or picture of the temple in heaven where God dwelled on His throne. And so, the plan was made before the foundation of the world that the Son would come and He would be the sacrificial Lamb, the Lamb of God without blemish. And He would be put upon an old rugged cross. Interesting enough that Christ created that tree that made His cross. He actually allowed Himself to be put on something He created. But He allowed Himself to be put on that tree, and His blood was shed. His blood was shed from the beating of the wounds. His blood was shed from the crown of thorns on His head. The blood was shed by the spear in His side. And so here we have this scene. They buried Him, as you know. And on resurrection morning, He was resurrected. Mary was at the tomb. They saw that Jesus was not there. Mary turned. She goes out into the garden and sees this man who she thought was the gardener. But then she realizes after the conversation it was Jesus Himself. She wants to hold on to Him. But He says, no, wait, don't touch me. I have a ministry to do. And we're going to be talking about in the next couple of Sundays the ministry of Jesus Christ now on this earth. But the issue is, He had a ministry. He basically said, I must first go to the Father and carry my blood into the Holy of Holies, which must be accepted by the Supreme Court of the universe as the red seal on the new covenant, upon the document of your redemption. Let's go to Hebrews 9:12. This was the very first ministry of Jesus Christ after His death. Hebrews 9:12. Hebrews, terrific book. It talks a lot about this, but we're just going to look at it briefly here. Well, we'll go to verse 11, actually. Incidentally, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was the first born again one. He had to be born again because he had taken our sin. He became sin. He became separated from God the first and only time in his entire career, so to speak. And so he was separated from God. And so in that sense, he had to be born again. And when he rose from the dead, he was the first one born from the grave, first one born from death to life in the sense that we're talking about. And so that's what he's talking about. He also became our high priest. Look in verse 11 of Hebrews 9. But Christ being come a high priest of good things by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Verse 12, here it is. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood entered he once, not many times, not year after year. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator, there it is, the umpire, the go-between, the one who has the hand on God the Father and the hand of you as an individual. It says that, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of transgressions that were under the first testament, that they who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And as somebody said this morning, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's exactly what he said to them. But nobody went to heaven until that blood was put on the mercy seat in heaven for an eternal washing away of sins of the entire world. Now, Jesus went up into the Holy Holies. The beautiful part of that, he was accepted by God. Meaning, he was a man accepted by God. Not only God, but he was man. And he was the first man accepted by God into the third heaven. Incidentally, the Hebrew Bible says there's seven heavens, but I'm not going to get into that one. One of these days I'll teach on that. But anyway, the third heaven, he went in third heaven, accepted by God as a man, and therefore men, women, and children could follow him into the third heaven because he had led the way by his own blood, not the blood of animals, or calves, or goats, or bulls, or whatever. So, the very first ministry of Jesus Christ was to cleanse the third heaven, the temple, with his own blood. Interesting enough. Now, then, of course, he came back to the earth, and then you have another scripture, and let's look at Matthew 28:6. Matthew 28:6. He came right back. Doesn't say how long he was there. And he came back and he was on the earth for 40 days. My opinion is he was gone for about 10 days. I think that's what the scripture says, but I'm not going to get into all that. Look in Matthew 20 and verse 11. Oh, wait a minute. Is that right? Excuse me, that's wrong. Matthew 28, verse 6. Matthew 28 and verse 6. Okay, Matthew 28 and 6. Now we have others there, and they're at the tomb, and says he's not there, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. He was not there. And go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. Behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear, great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And they went to tell his disciples, behold, as they went, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and look at this, and held him by the feet. This time, he said, touch me all you want to. They grabbed him by the feet, and they weren't going to let him go. Jesus said unto them, be not afraid, go tell your brethren, and so on. So the issue is, the first time he said, don't touch me, I haven't performed my ministry yet, and he had to go up to heaven, take his blood, go into the Holy Holies, put that on the mercy seat in heaven. That settled the sin issue. And then he came back, in a glorified body, and he said, touch me all you want. In fact, if you'll remember, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I can put my hands in his side. And next time he saw Thomas, he said, okay, here it is. Thomas put his hand in there. He said, my Lord and my God. You know, it's an interesting thing in the New Testament, and you just look and see if this isn't true. Nobody in the New Testament ever addressed Jesus Christ by the name Jesus. Very interesting. They always said Lord, or Master, or Rabboni, or something of that nature. It's very interesting. You won't find it. Not that it's a problem. I'm just saying it's interesting to me. I always remember the church where I got saved. The pastor was always very careful. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, most of the time when somebody met Jesus, they called him Lord. I don't know about you. I like that. It's okay to be. I think there's times you go in, we're going to go in and dine with him. That's going to be kind of interesting. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you know that's all possible because of the blood? This covenant was sealed in blood. That was the issue. It was a blood covenant. A blood covenant cannot be broken. And so therefore, when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have what kind of life? What kind? That is correct, sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could just get that part right, we would be okay with the rest of it, I think. And that's what we need to get right. We need to get to the part where God accepted what Jesus did, and it was enough. Say enough. It was enough. That was it. We don't have any part in it other than receiving it. And I'm going to tell you that, I'm glad it's so, because I'd mess it up. You understand? That's why some people can't figure out whether they're saved or lost. They're depending on the wrong thing. They should be depending on the blood of Jesus Christ. It'll always be the answer. It'll always be the covenant. It'll always be the seal. That's why we sing about the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, you see. And that's the issue. And that's why we can rejoice today, because, listen, that's the good news. We've been set free. It's been said paid in full, you see. And that's what we have, signed in blood by the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can rejoice today. Therefore, we can take a little bit of persecution when somebody doesn't like us too well or doesn't agree with what we say. You know, so what? We're going to the third heaven, hallelujah, to be with Jesus. I can get excited about that. I can preach about that. I can get all, I'll tell you, I might, who knows what I might do. look out, Chuck, get out of the way. I mean, we ought to get excited about that, because everything else then is just getting in harmony with God. That's what the whole rest of the Christian life after salvation is, getting in harmony with God. Do you know that the Word of God will change your mind? It will restructure your brain. It will change your life. And that's why we teach the Word of God. That's why we preach the Word of God. Because it will restructure the way you think. And when you step into that third heaven, you're going to be thinking like God. Hallelujah. You see. And that's why we say, speak it out loud, read it out loud, your ears hear it. It goes into your mind and your brain and restructures your brain. And that's why a Christian is different than a lost person. That's the reason, you see. And that's why we study the Bible. We study the Word of God. It's God's way to restructure us, to prepare us for heaven. You see. And some run around, well, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, you know, get in the Word of God and start studying that thing, and you'll find you'll never say that again. Are you listening to me? That's doubt. That came from the enemy. It didn't come from Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who restructures my mind, who changes my thinking, who gets me thinking about heaven while I'm still here on the earth, where my citizenship is, and I'm only here temporary. Hallelujah. And so then I can get excited about being on the earth because I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. You see. And what? I don't know how you can be sad too long. You can't be mad at your wife over 5 minutes when your mind gets changed. Or the other way around, or whatever it is. You see. Because God's restructuring your mind. You know why some people get saved, never seem to change? Is because they're not in the Word of God. They don't let the Word of God restructure their mind. They don't study it. They show up occasionally. They're not in the Word of God. And they say, I don't understand. This Christian life doesn't seem to work for me. You haven't tried it. You see. Because I'll guarantee you it'll change. My mother got saved after being in church about 50 years. And I said, what's going on here? You got saved. What's the difference? I fell in love with the Bible, she said. Hallelujah. You see. That's the issue. You get in the Word of God, it'll change your life. You know, somebody who has absolutely nothing can end up being president of the United States if they have Jesus. Are you listening to me? Because God gives us the ability to do what He's called us to do and created us to do. Because He's put it within us, and if we're in the Word of God, it'll be structured in your mind. You see. Because we've all messed up. And we all need the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we all need somebody to put their hand on God and take our hand and pull us into the presence of God. And that's Jesus, you see. I'm going to tell you this. He wasn't raised from the dead till the Father was satisfied. Are you listening to me? When the Father was satisfied, He came out of that grave. The grave couldn't hold Him when the Father was satisfied. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you another sign. He said, I'm going to tell you exactly when I am seated, accepted, at the right hand of the Father. And that was something called Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. He says, when the Spirit comes, you'll know that I'm accepted at the right hand of the Father, and you're going to be accepted if you know me as your personal Savior. That's the issue, folks. The thing depends on the blood of Jesus, not on something we do or don't do or might do or trying to do or whatever. It depends on Him. It doesn't make any difference what you go through in life, what struggles you go through, if you're holding on to this promise of God, which says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never be out of your presence. I'm always in you. And that's another issue. He puts the Spirit of God within our spirit. There, and I've said this before, but you must understand this. The way we get to heaven is the gift of God, which He gives us at salvation. It's called righteousness. That righteousness of God is put within our spirit. So we're spirit, soul, and body. So there's always a part of you that's righteous. I don't care what you do. I'm not encouraging you to do things not in harmony with God. I'm not encouraging you to sin. But I'm telling you, there isn't any sin that can break your relationship with God if you're a Christian. Now, you're going to live a whole lot better if you live in harmony with God. I'm going to tell you that right now. And sin will mess you up. Sin always destroys. It'll destroy something in your life. It'll destroy something in your body. It'll destroy something in you if you don't get it right and get in harmony with God in that area of your life. Sin always brings destruction. In fact, there are certain sins for certain people that if you commit them, God said, okay, you're out of here. It's called a sin unto death. Can Christians commit this? I believe they can. Some people might argue with me on that. I'm not going to test it. Are you listening to me? So the issue is we want to be in harmony with God. We want to learn His ways. We want to learn what He wants us to do because His ministry is already done. Except when He comes back again. That part of the ministry is finished. Once for all, He'll never die again. That's exactly why salvation is eternal. Because if it wasn't, He'd have to die again. He'd have to die again. He'd have to die again. But He came in once for all. That little word once is very important. Now, I'm not telling somebody that. Oh, somebody says, okay, great, I'm saved. I can go live like I want to. Try it. You want to be miserable, go ahead. But that's not the issue. You see, the issue is, then, when we're reconciled to God, He puts His righteousness in us, and that righteousness gets us into the third heaven. Because nobody will ever live perfectly. There was only one. And His name is? Absolutely correct. There was only one. And so that's the issue. Once for all. And so then it's receiving Christ, and then it's a process of growing in our soul and body to the extent that we can to be in line with God on this earth to do what He's called us to do because He had a ministry. Guess what? We have a ministry. Do I hear an amen? That's what it's all about. You say, well, I don't really believe that anybody's in the Bible on a daily basis that really loves God and loves the Word of God. I don't believe that they will stay the same in their life. I think they'll change for the better. I think they'll change for the good. I think God will restructure them. And, you know, we've been studying on Wednesday night. If you study the word for salvation in the New Testament, you will find out the word is sozo, S-O-Z-O. That word means redemption, our sins are forgiven. That word means healing. That word means deliverance. That word means acceptance by God. You can just go on and on and on and on and on what all that means. And as you become... And usually what we get, listen to me, usually what we get is what we learn in the Word of God. We don't get more, we don't get less. We get what we learn and receive. We don't get something we don't know. And so that's why we study the Word of God to find out. You start believing that salvation is also healing. of the spirit, soul, and body, and you start believing that salvation is deliverance from the enemy, spirit, soul, and body, then you can start receiving it in the name of Jesus. Do I hear an amen? All right. It's time to quit, and I'm going to, but we got the Lord's Supper, so just hang in there. But